And you might find yourself in a couple smaller setbacks as you try new things, because you're not going to be good at something when you try it for the first time, but you're going to learn so much and you are going to emerge with such a sense of what you are capable of and how much is possible for you in this moment. And that is the point of the setback cycle, to get you to the emerge phase so that you can confidently move forward into whatever endeavor you want to.
Hi, I'm Bob Mathers, and welcome to The Growth Mixtape, a podcast where I talk to the most interesting people you might not have come across yet. I find that these conversations give me new insights and perspectives about topics I didn't know existed. These conversations might not seem to have a lot in common at first, but just like songs and a mixtape, they create something memorable and emotional. Today we talk to Amy Schoenthal, a best-selling author, journalist, and marketing consultant for some of the world's largest brands. We talk about her latest book, The Setback Cycle, that explores the personal setbacks of prominent leaders and gives us a four-step process for navigating our own. Maybe you're in between jobs or in one that's just not awesome anymore. Maybe you're feeling kind of stuck, or maybe everything really is awesome. And maybe you're like me and you're every one of these depending on the day. Whatever it is, Amy keeps us laughing and gives us some tools that we can use every day to get us through whatever's holding us back. This was so much fun. Amy is the best. Please enjoy Amy Schoenthal. So Amy Schoenthal, welcome to the show. I'm really interested in this conversation. I'm really excited. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited too.
So just a little bit of context for everyone. Amy is my producer, Amy, the wizard behind the curtain, the one that makes me sound like I can, that I'm any good at this at all. She reached out to me. She said, oh, I've got a potential guest and it's all about setbacks. I'm like, interesting. I've never really thought about setbacks. So then we chatted, and as I was thinking more about this, I wonder what your experience is with this when you share the book and the setback cycle with people, because I immediately thought, okay, yes, I've been laid off. I've been unceremoniously fired. And then I've had little things that have happened. And all of a sudden, all I could see was setbacks. I could see my life, my last 30 years of my life with all these setbacks on it. And it's really been kind of cathartic. And I feel like I should be lying on a couch for this and that this conversation could take days.
Yeah, I mean, you have a cozy couch behind you. So if you want, I'm happy to do this recording as such. I am not a licensed therapist, but you know, we could still do it from the couch if that's where you're more comfortable. But what you're saying is what I hear from so many people. They see their lives in a totally different way once they read the book or do an exercise or two from the book, and they start to see their life through a series of setbacks, which I think fundamentally we all understand that we've endured setbacks. But what I found was in deciding to write this book was that no one had really explored the concept of setbacks in a really big and in-depth way. And that's why I wrote this book, because I think we all deserve to understand what setbacks are and how they shape us and why these like very defining moments tend to propel us forward in such big ways. That's what this book is about. That's what the last 4 years of my life have really been focused on. And it's been really, really, really rewarding to see how people are now viewing their own experiences in this through this new lens.
So one of the things that occurred to me as I was reflecting on this, and I definitely want to get into the cycle because I think people are really going to love it as much as I did. I talked to a lot of people that are, for example, you know, in between jobs or got laid off like I did a few years ago, or, you know, stuck in jobs. And God, I can look back on these setbacks in my life. You know, for example, I was laid off for the first time, say 7 or 8 years ago, and it was scary and anxious. And I can look back on that now and say, yes, that was probably the best thing to ever happen to me. And when I'm talking to people, I know that they will someday look back on this with that same kind of respect and go, oh my God, that really was the greatest thing to ever happen to me. But it's impossible to see when you're in it. And what I loved about the book is that it does provide you a way to work through that in real time, and not, because I've always just kind of waited for it to resolve itself somehow, which takes a long time.
I doubt that's true. I doubt you just sat around waiting for it to resolve itself. I bet you did more than you realized in the moment, or you learned more than you realized. And maybe it took you a while to take what you think of as like a forward step or an action towards your next path. But in the processing of your setback, that was actually moving you forward, which you probably didn't realize in the moment, which none of us do. And look, I do not have a way for you to feel better about your setback when it happens. That moment always sucks. It always, always sucks. The one thing you have now, though, is a framework to get you through it. And, but even in that moment, knowing that you have a framework and knowing like, okay, I just got laid off. I didn't get that big promotion. I got, you know, bumped backwards in some way, because that's the true definition of a setback, you know, a reversal in progress. If you have that moment, even with all the tools at your disposal, it's still gonna suck. And I want to just be really clear about that. Mm-hmm. But I think you do now have like a glimmer of hope and knowledge that, okay, when I'm ready, because right now I just need it to suck. I just need to sit in it and like be upset. But when I'm ready, I'm gonna pick up, you know, chapter one and like work through my setback. And honestly, this sounds kind of gross, but like try to get the most out of it. What can I learn in this moment? What gift will this be? Like, what will I do with this? But you have to kind of pause before you get into that, you know, embrace and explore phase.
Yeah. I love that. Giving yourself some space to say, yes, this sucks. And I will eventually figure out how this happened for me. But right now, I just need to be pissed off and angry and scared.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk about that then. As I said, I don't think I've ever really thought about setback before. And obviously, that the term you picked is very intentional. So talk to me a bit about, you've alluded to it a little bit, but what is a setback and maybe what isn't a setback?
Sure. So the true definition of a setback is a reversal or check in progress. So it's when you have been on a path moving forward, you know, working towards something, thinking you're headed in a certain direction, and then you're unexpectedly bumped backwards. Mm. And that unexpectedness is really, I think, a big part of the setback cycle. So when people think of an obstacle or a trauma or an inconvenience, those are things, but they're not always setbacks. An obstacle isn't always a setback. You have to really be bumped backwards. And that's really how you can differentiate those experiences from this one. There can be some overlap for sure, for sure. But that's really what a setback is. And we've all had them. And there is such a spectrum of setbacks, from the small, micro, everyday ones that we experience, especially if you're a parent of a small child and you have to get them out the door every day. I mean, that's like a setback cyclone every morning. But then there's, you know, the major life-changing ones, you know, getting laid off, getting divorced, you know, a real sort of life-altering setback. And those are the ones that I think the setback cycle really helps you process and work through.
Yeah, interesting. You're right. I was thinking about the scale of them, you know, that I was thinking initially about, you know, losing my job a couple of times. And then I was thinking, oh, well, I could guess go back to like losing my dad when I was 24. I mean, that was, I don't know if you'd call that a setback in the definition you just gave. I mean, with perspective, it seems like it.
I think grief is its own thing. And sometimes a major loss like that could send you into a setback, but grief itself and loss itself is just, you know, a horrible experience. It is not always a setback.
Yeah, so interesting. Yeah, so it sets you backwards. I think that helps me frame that.
Yeah, and one person's setback is not necessarily another's. You know, you could have the same experience happen to you. Like you and I could be working at the same company and be caught up in a round of layoffs. And maybe I was, you know, blinders on, just like thinking I would succeed at this company, and the layoff comes as a shock, and I just like am totally unprepared and don't know what to do next. That's a big setback for me. But say you were maybe, you know, creating this podcast, creating your own business on the side, and you were maybe thinking about leaving anyway, and all of a sudden you just got a really big severance package to hold you over. That's a gift. You know what I mean? And so like the same thing could happen to two people, and they could experience it in such different ways, where it's a setback to one and not a setback to another. You know, when I came back from maternity leave, my big career setback was coming back from maternity leave and being sidelined and being coddled and being taken off accounts and having a much smaller workload. That was a setback to me because I wanted to come back and I wanted to, you know, dive back into work and really like take the reins on my career and move forward. But someone else returning from any sort of caregiving leave might want a lighter workload.
Yeah.
So that could be a gift for them, you know? And so I just like a setback is so personal. It is so personal. And again, like a layoff, even something like a layoff, which you think would be a setback for everyone. And it probably mostly is, but it really just depends on your circumstances.
Yeah, God, I really love that. You know, I do think about the second time I was out of work, I said to my wife before I left the house that day, like, if I'm going to tell my boss to go fuck himself today, like, I have had it with this job. And sure enough, I was walked out of the building 3 hours later. But it, you know, it still really hurt as much as but I got a package. Yeah. So yeah, I could definitely, I reeled from that for a while.
Because it wasn't on your own terms, you know? Yeah, right. I got laid off too. Like I was preparing to leave, but I got laid off, but it was earlier than I expected and it wasn't on my own terms. So it still felt, you know, it's still a rejection, even though like my layoff, I was caught up in a round of, you know, it was a workforce reduction. I was basically a number on a spreadsheet and I had to get cut. Like it wasn't personal, but like, it doesn't matter. It felt personal. And like, even my colleague who we got laid off together, you know, we were the same title, probably around the same salary. And like, it didn't matter. It still felt so personal. So it's hard to, yeah, it's hard to process something like that.
Yeah. God, I love that. Okay. So I'd love to talk about the four phases because I know we've kind of alluded to those. And then I'd love to hear some of the stories. And I know you talk a lot about the neuroscience in the book, which I really love as well. So maybe we could just touch a little bit about that. Maybe that would help frame the four phases. So I'm curious, why was it important for you to kind of to provide that lens on the in the book as well?
When I started writing this book, I hadn't even landed on the concept of setbacks. I just knew that I was seeing some sort of trend because you probably have this in the intro, but I'm a journalist and I've been writing the stories of founders and leaders for decades. And when you do something enough, you start to see patterns and themes and trends. And I just kept seeing this same, you know, what we now know is a cycle. And I kept seeing the same cycle that every founder would go through when I would say, okay, tell me the story of your career. How did you create this business? How did you get to your role as an executive? You know, tell me everything. Tell me about your career journey. And I would always kind of get them to really peel back the layers on like that messy middle of their career and like, oh, that's interesting. Like that didn't go well. What did you do? And that was always the catalyst for their success. And once I kept seeing it, I was like, why? What is this? You know, because again, it didn't fall under the categories we understood, like making a mistake or just, you know, overcoming obstacles or building resilience or post-traumatic growth. Like it was sometimes some of those things, but it was, I knew there was something more. So I just started doing research, like a crazy amount of research. I read many business psychology books and academic papers. And I started interviewing experts to try to figure out what this was. It was when I came upon the definition of a setback that I was like, oh, that's it. That's the term that encompasses everything I'm seeing because it's not always their fault. It's not always totally out of their control. Like it's usually some sort of combination, setback, reversal in progress, bumped backwards. Like that was the commonality that I saw. And then once I saw it, I said, okay, there really doesn't seem to be any literature about setbacks in particular. There's like some sports books about it, but there were no business books about setbacks. And so I didn't want to just write about the fact that it was happening because I didn't think that would be particularly helpful. It might be interesting, but not helpful. Like if I was going to write a book about this, I needed it to be something actionable, something people could use. And so I also wanted to understand, you know, if this is happening so frequently, is it a universal human experience? I went to a neuroscientist and I interviewed her like so many times. She was so generous with her time. And I read her book. Her name's Chantal Pratt. She wrote The Neuroscience of You. And she also directed me to a couple of academic papers that I cite throughout the book. And she explained to me that when we go through a setback, it results in a dopamine dip, which we all understand dopamine hits and dips. And we're always avoiding the dopamine dips and we're chasing the dopamine hits. But what happens is, so dopamine is a plasticity inducer, which means it contributes to the mental, your brain's flexibility and plasticity, you know? And so when you experience a dopamine dip, that is when your brain goes through the rewiring and relearning and adaptation. It is literally how you build resilience and adaptability. So it's kind of, I always like to say, it's kind of like exercising a muscle. You have to break down the muscle mass before it rebuilds as strength. It's the same thing in your brain. And when you go through a setback, it's not pleasant. Again, the dopamine dips are not fun. But when everything's going well, you're not really getting creative and figuring out how you can do things differently. But when things aren't going well, or like you've lost it all, or you're bumped backwards, that's when you have to pull out, you know, the most creative problem-solving parts of your brain. And the, unfortunately, the more that happens to you, the better you get at it. And the more of an understanding you have around, well, I got through that, so I can get through this. Now, like Bob, you're looking at your life through this series of setbacks. And so when you do encounter your next one, at least you will have the knowledge that, okay, this is not fun. This is not ideal, but I got through all of those. So I will get through this.
So, okay, awesome. Let's talk about the four steps. It is a cycle. It's interesting. It's when I thought about it, because I can tell your words are very intentional. It's a cycle. So I thought about setbacks in terms of these episodic things that happen throughout your life. And then I thought, oh, well, great, I got a four-stage process to work through things. And then as I was realized that, no, it really is a cycle. Like, it's not something that I just go through the four steps and then I move on to the next setback. And there's probably things that happened 20 years ago that I'm still in this cycle with. And then if you map those out over the timeline, it gets messy. Like, it's swirly. You're still in loops from years ago. There's some that you just race through. I don't know. It was super interesting to think about it in terms of a cycle.
Right. And also, like, each phase is not equal. Like you said, you could sit in one phase for 20 years and you could blast through one phase in, you know, a nanosecond.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people ask me, oh, how long does it take to go through the setback cycle? And I feel so bad when they ask me that because I have to say, like, I don't know.
Right.
I can't answer that for you because I don't know what kind of setback you're having. Right. Did your infant just go through a sleep regression, or did you decide you're going to get a divorce? Like, I can't, like, those are very different setbacks, you know? And so the four phases that I have, number one was actually the most surprising. The first phase is establish, because this is one that people can stay in for decades, because so many of us want to ignore that we are in a setback. We want to avoid it. We want to just try to power through. We want to say, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. I can handle this. Other people have it worse, so I can do this. That is not helpful. If you are in a setback, you can acknowledge it. The best thing you could do is acknowledge it. It also doesn't mean you have to blow up your whole life. So if you decide, you know what, I am in the wrong job. I am not fulfilled. This is not worth it. This is going to be a dead end. It doesn't mean you have to quit tomorrow. You can go through the setback cycle and decide your path forward while still remaining in whatever it is that doesn't serve you. So it's not, I always say, like, you do not have to blow up your life to move forward. You can lay the foundation for what's next while existing in whatever thing isn't serving you, be it, again, like, I always use relationships and jobs as the examples, because those are, you know, some big ones, but that's established. And I have something called the alarm clock checklist to wake you up in case you are just sort of unconsciously floating through your own setback, which I have done. I still sometimes do. And I catch myself. I'm the setback expert and I still want to fast forward or ignore my setbacks because it's human nature to avoid negative feelings. It is human nature to avoid discomfort. But you have to remember that the change and the transformation comes from those dopamine dips. So once you acknowledge your discomfort, you acknowledge you're in a setback, you move to phase two, which is embrace.
Sorry, Amy, before you do that, can you talk to a little bit about that alarm clock checklist you talked about?
Sure. Yeah. There's quite a few questions that you can go through. And I have a few journaling prompts in there because, sometimes you're in a setback and either you're not sure or it's not obvious and you have to kind of collect some data to see if a setback is really what you're in. And two things that I do every day in my, I like journal at the beginning of every day, and I have little prompts for myself because sometimes I just have 30 seconds and I have prompts for myself. And two of the things that comes from the alarm clock checklist, two things I write are, what are you energized by and what are you disengaged with? And I answer those two questions every day. I do a couple other things too. And there's more to it in the alarm clock checklist. But if you answer just these two questions, what are you energized by and what are you disengaged with? And you answer them every day or a couple times a week for some period of time, say a month minimum. You go back and you look through your answers, you're going to pick up some really interesting information. Like, I pick up interesting information all the time about how I want to structure my business. Like, I built my business on like this one thing that I always did. And I'm looking back and realizing like, that's actually what I'm disengaged with right now. So I'm pivoting my business to do like more of the stuff I'm energized by, you know? And so you can, again, you don't have to totally abandon the stuff you're disengaged with. You might not have the luxury of abandoning it, but it's useful information. What you do with it is up to you. And so if you're, what you're disengaged with is something that's like a really big part of your life, it might be time to think of whether or not you've been coasting through a setback.
Yeah, coasting through a setback. I love that language because it does remind me of another exercise that I've done from time to time, is just go look at your calendar and just bucket though everything in terms of, does that give you energy or drain energy? And look at that balance. And are you happy with that mix?
I love that.
I love the journaling and the prompts though, because I need a way of working this into my life every day. Otherwise you're busy, but you're, you know, everything's fine, but not great. And then you go look at your calendar and you'd go through one of these exercises and like, oh yeah, this sucks. I just kind of wasted the last 6 months of my life in kind of wallowing in this mediocrity. So I love the daily routine of doing that. That's what I need anyway.
It helps because it really does tend to be the small daily things that add up to one bigger either clue or one bigger, you know, indication that you're in the wrong place or you're focusing your time, right? Your calendar, you're focusing your time on the wrong thing. And you can recalibrate your day to do more of the thing you're energized by and less of the things you're disengaged with.
Yeah. And I love the idea of not having to blow up your life, right? Because I, you know, at this, in the autumn of my career, as I say, I'm kind of obsessed with this idea, like, what is my purpose? What, you know, I can see the end, not of my life, hopefully, but of my career, you know, 10 or 20 years off. Like, what am I going to do with this? Shouldn't I have a purpose by now? Like, you know, is what I'm doing now really aligned with my purpose? Like, it's okay. You don't have to blow everything up.
You don't have to blow everything up. You just, but the purpose is something that I go through with people in the emerge phase. So once you've gone through this, and now I'm skipping from phase one to phase four, but that's okay. Because once you've gone through the setback cycle, the thing that you should emerge with is a very clear sense of your purpose and your mission. And again, I'm a marketing consultant. I work with brands and founders and executives to clarify, you know, their presence, their role, their persona in whatever industry they're in. And a big part of that is creating a brand purpose, a brand mission statement. And so I encourage people to create their own personal mission statement. And again, I have a whole exercise for this where you answer a few questions and then you look at your answers and you distill it into one to two sentences. That's your personal mission statement. So my personal mission statement is to elevate the stories of overlooked or underestimated founders and leaders who are doing the work to solve society's biggest problems. I do that through my work as a journalist, because those are the stories that I try to really focus on and tell and put into publications like Forbes and Harvard Business Review and Fast Company. But I also do that in my marketing consulting, because I take, again, like a brand story, a founder story, an executive story, and I help them share their voice or their product or their brand or their service or their company and get, you know, the visibility that they deserve and get that story out into the world. And, you know, with the launch of the Setback Cycle in the book, like, I did it for myself, you know? And so that mission, if you think about it, really you can apply it to all different parts of your life.
When I hear people like you talk about their mission, I'm like, God, that sounds beautiful. I want something like that. Maybe I could just take that and change a couple words.
You have to do the mission statement exercise. I'll tell you, I'll look at the book. I'll tell you what page it is, but I think it's in the last chapter and it's, you know, you emerge from your setback and you have to just get clear on your mission, and that'll help you set boundaries, help you decide what you're going to put on that busy calendar. You know, it's really the benefits of having a really clear mission statement helps you in so many ways, not only in terms of like deciding what work to take on and what not to take on, but how to spend your time, what to say no to, you know, all these things. Like someone wants to get coffee with me. I'm like, well, is that in service of my larger mission? I'm running a business. I'm promoting a book. I'm a mom. I don't have a lot of free time. So as much as I'd like to get coffee with everyone who asks, like I have to make choices. Like, is it in service of my personal mission?
You're so much better at it. Of course, I talk to founders and leaders all the time about their purpose and mission, but I suck at having my own. So you're actually an expert in something that actually does what they preach, which I admit I am terrible at. It's always amazing when I take some time to reflect back, oh, I need to do more of this, A, B, and C. I'm like, oh, I have a template for that. I have a workshop for that.
Yeah, I know. Well, we give it all to our clients, you know, yes. We give it all to our clients. I think I didn't really do it for myself until I wrote this book, because then I had all of a sudden, I had a product, like I had a thing that I had personally created to share with the world. But for 20 years before that, I did it for people. I did it for brands. I did it for organizations and nonprofits. Like I didn't do it for myself until I sort of had to. And still, let's be clear, I'm not perfect at, you know,
right.
not every decision I make is perfectly aligned with my mission, right. But I try really hard to keep it that way. And just, again, having the mission statement really clearly articulated will help you make the decisions. You're not always going to make the right one. You're not going to be perfectly aligned with like building your life around this one clear mission and doing everything perfectly, but you'll get better at it if you have it.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so we kind of skipped a couple of really important ones here. So embrace, because it's, you talk about this, this is the hardest one.
It's the hardest phase. So once you establish you're in a setback in phase one, you move forward to embrace. And this is where you have to really sit with the discomfort of your setback. What just happened? What do I need to learn? What do I need to let go of? What can I, like, what's the information I can glean? And the hardest part of this is really thinking, okay, what was my role in this? What was someone else's role in this? What factors were absolutely out of my control? And what can I do in this moment to move forward? So you get laid off from your job. Everyone's like, go take a pottery class. Take a pottery class if you want to. That's great. But that's not necessarily going to help you through your setback. Maybe if you're like working with your hands and it's helping you, you know, create some sort of mental focus, great. But it's not just the time you lost. It's not just the, how do I structure my day? It's the sense of self, sense of identity, sense of like who I am. Like when I lost my job, all of a sudden I wasn't like a marketing agency employee. And that was a real shift. And I wasn't really ready to call myself a founder or a business owner, even though I had my LLC all set up and I had a couple clients. Like it was a weird identity shift. And of course I wasn't making as much money. And so that was weird. Like, can I go get a haircut? Like those are expensive. Like, can I go spend money on a haircut when I don't make as much money as I used to? My husband was like, oh my God, go get a haircut. Why are you obsessing over this? It's okay. I was like, no, but I mean, these are luxuries that I didn't think twice about. And I don't know, like, I feel like the money that I do make now should only go towards family expenses, not luxuries, like getting myself a haircut. And so that was, you know, these things come up in very unexpected ways. I noticed it and I paid attention to it. And I was like, why am I obsessing over getting a haircut? Oh, it's because of how I identify with my money story and how I've identified, you know, how I've seen money and in relationship to my identity throughout the course of my life. And, you know, and there's all these things that sort of come up. And then once you have sort of digested the information, what can I do? What do I want from other people? What do I want to do next? Then you can move forward to explore. Phase three is explore. And this is the most fun phase because you get to go try stuff out, but you don't have to commit to anything. You just get to play. You just get to enjoy yourself. And this is also something you could do, again, if you haven't blown up your life yet and you decided I am in a setback, I want to see what might be possible. This is what you should be doing. You should be going through the explore phase. I always say you could be perpetually in the explore phase. And that would be a perfectly fine way to live. The thing that you run into here is just time constraints. So if you're in a full-time job, but you want to explore other stuff, but your full-time job takes most of your time, you have to figure out how to infuse that exploration into your life. And time is going to be the biggest challenge. But if you want something badly enough, you will find the time. Motivation is the biggest predictor of success. And if you are motivated to go try new things, explore what's possible, you will do it. You will find a you will find time in your day to do it. So this is the explore phase. This is the couple of exercises we have here are identifying your superpower, kind of figure out how to merge your passion with your strength and, you know, what makes you unique and really kind of articulating that to the world and helping, you know, figure out your next move based on that information. So the explore phase is super fun. We love explore.
Yeah. And as I was reflecting on those phases, for sure, Amy, I was thinking in the past, I've probably been trying to rush through the embrace phase and get to the explore phase, right? But then the explore phase, I kind of had to bounce back and forth between these two things because I hadn't really let myself just kind of wallow in that embrace phase, right? And you know, when I got laid off, for example, I was like, I'm pissed off and angry. I'm like, I'm going to go prove to the world that they made a mistake. And that's not at all what I needed. That was just my immediate reaction because I was sort of plowing through that phase to get to the explore phase. That was really interesting that it kind of forces you to slow down.
Yeah. And we go through that blame and shame process big time during embrace. Like during embrace, we are very likely to completely blame ourselves or completely blame someone else. Almost every single time, it is a combination. It is a combination of you and that. It's like, it's not you, it's not him, it's them. Like, it's both of us. It is almost always both of you. It is almost always some, you know, external factor. And it's always a combination. And I do like to think everyone is moving forward and making decisions with good intentions. And unfortunately, those good intentions, you know, can't prevent discomfort or shitty things from happening.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was everybody else's fault for a while. And then it was all my fault. And then the pendulum rested in the middle where it always does.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I say, like, go through blame and shame, go through it, but try not to get too wrapped up or fall into like a spiral of rumination over blaming yourself or blaming someone else.
Ooh, so many old memories and feelings.
I feel like we're processing your setback cycle a little bit right now.
This is good. This conversation is going to sit with me for a while, that's for sure. Yeah. So you already talked about emerge, but just so that we kind of, like, how does this cycle sort of complete itself?
So emerge, explore paves the way for emerge. You go through the explore phase, you test out all kinds of new ideas, you enlist the feedback of your community, and you start to eventually get a sense of what your path forward should look like and what you want to build. And that's when you get to emerge. And emerge is by no means a finish line because we are perpetually cycling through setbacks, but emerge is when you come out of this particular setback and you have your glorious phoenix moment and you kind of say, okay, that happened. Here's what I'm going to do with it. And you move forward. And you just move forward. And you know what? Emerge, you're trying out something new. You're testing. You're like, well, you're done testing. You're like moving forward. It's hard. And you might find yourself in a couple smaller setbacks as you try new things because you're not going to be good at something when you try it for the first time. But you're going to learn so much and you are going to emerge with such a sense of what you are capable of and how much is possible for you in this moment. And that is the point of the setback cycle, to get you to the emerge phase so that you can confidently move forward into whatever endeavor you want to.
Yeah. And as I think about those four phases, you know, it's just interesting how my perspective on setbacks has changed as I've reflected on this, because I thought about, you know, that's a book I need to have so that when something happens, I'm going to pick this up and Amy's going to help me work through this. But I really like the idea of embedding some of these prompts in my journaling, for example, on a daily basis to identify, you know, these aren't all the big forks in the road setbacks that I immediately think of when I thought about, you know, setbacks for the first time and thought about this conversation. It's really about all the little things and identifying if you're sort of swirling and wallowing in something that I would never have thought of as a setback. But yeah, it's sort of like,
Yeah.
Everything's okay, but not great. And how do I identify those things to sort of just jumpstart this cycle, even when I'm not in kind of crisis?
Yeah. The best thing you could do is identify it and start to work your way out of it before you're in crisis. When I was sidelined after maternity leave, I saw the writing on the wall. You run fewer accounts, you run a smaller piece of business, your job is not as secure. Now, I stayed at that job for 5 more years, but I planted the seeds to run my own business because I knew, okay, that's a message. And I don't think it was intentional. I think everyone was doing the best they could and making the best decisions they could with the information they had. They were making certain assumptions of what I would want to do when I came back. It wasn't great. It definitely resulted in a career setback for me. But what I did with that is I built my own business on the side. I didn't quit. I just built my own business. I had, by the time I was laid off 5 years later, I had formed my LLC. I had a couple clients on retainer. My layoff wasn't the setback. It was the green light to go see what I could build. So I highly recommend plotting the foundation for your emerge phase when you realize, when you're in the established phase, when you realize you're in a setback without blowing up your life, because I got to build it while maintaining a steady paycheck.
I love that. And when I was thinking about this as well, there were people in my, I was sort of thinking about, okay, how have I dealt with setbacks before and how have I seen others around me? And I can think of people in my life that just don't seem to have setbacks, or they just barrel through. Like, and it just seems to be this confidence that, oh yeah, things happen. I don't know. What is your thought on that? I'm sure you've seen people that just seem to barge through this. And what's the difference between people that really have a great perspective on setbacks and can seem to get through this cycle maybe quicker, as opposed to the people that tend to get stuck?
They've been through more setbacks.
Mm.
They recognize the signs and they can course correct more easily. And they know that they can go through it. It doesn't mean it's not hard for them. It's still hard for them, but they know that they're capable of it. And so they just move forward. They figure it out. They don't ignore it. They just move forward. Also, what you see might not be the whole story.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Don't assume that like everyone's easily floating through, you know, and everything is great. Like, people are seeing the success of my book. They're like, oh my God, you're a USA Today bestseller. You were on every news channel and all these podcasts. You're doing amazing. And I'm like, do you know the work it took to get there though? Like, it wasn't just like this easy road. I was rejected from so many editors and publishing houses because I didn't have a big enough social media platform. Like, yes, it's doing well now, but for me to have even gotten this book published, like, it was a series of setbacks. Another thing is I just found people who really believed in me and believed in what this book would do for people. And now that's what you're seeing, but it didn't happen as easily as what you see. Because on, you know, my Instagram feed, my LinkedIn feed is, I was invited to do a TED Talk. I was a USA Today bestseller. Like, buy the book. It's number one in, you know, this Amazon category. It's all true. But I'm pumped about those things and I'm screaming about them. I wasn't screaming about getting rejected from all the publishing houses, you know? So right. You do have to remember that you don't see everything.
God, I love that. And one thing that you talk a little bit about is kind of the role of toxic positivity.
Mm.
I don't know. I'd love to hear you talk a little bit about that. Like, how does that fit into all this?
It holds us in setbacks. It holds us back from establishing and acknowledging that this isn't good. It forces us to put on a happy face and tell everyone it's fine and continue ahead. It forces us to avoid discomfort. Because we just want to put on a happy face and say, everything is fine. I've got this. I'm strong. But it almost makes us avoid admitting if we're not good, if we're not fine. And a lot of people tell me, you know, when I came back from maternity leave and I was trying to figure out my place, I would say to everyone, I'm fine. This is good. This is a gift. This is great. I'm fine. But I wasn't fine. And nobody believed me. but I couldn't, you know, I don't know if they had said to me like, hey, you're not fine, if I would have received it. Like, I had to kind of come around to establishing my own setback, which it took me years to do.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's maturity. I think back about some of the setbacks and the role that what we now call toxic positivity had. And yeah, I guess it was maybe an insecurity. It's just an experience, as you said. Like, I guess maybe I hadn't gone through enough setbacks to have the confidence to say out loud that it wasn't okay. because I just really needed everybody to think that it was.
Yeah, we've all been there. We've all done that. It's very, very, it's human nature.
Yeah. So many things, you know, I'm so grateful that you've given me this time today, Amy. This conversation, as much, if not more than, you know, most others I've had on this podcast, I know this is going to sit with me. And one of the most painful things, I don't know if you had this because you're an actual journalist that knows what they're doing, but I will listen to this, you know, in about a month or so when it gets released, and I'll listen to this and I'll put together the, you know, the notes and everything. And I'll just like, oh God, how could I not have asked that? How could I not have followed up with this? You know, because I feel this pressure to make the most use, you know, to get the most value out of these 45 minutes we've got together. It's just given me such a new perspective on so many things that have happened, and kind of to embed these small things into my daily routines. I really, really appreciate this time.
Good. And for what it's worth, you were very thorough and we got through a lot of material. So hopefully you won't look back and wonder what else you could have asked. And if you want, you can email me and ask me whatever question you want, or it's probably in the book. So
yeah. Or if your phone does ring one of these days, I will be lying down. Be like, Amy.
Yeah. Only call me from the couch.
That's right. Before we go, I am curious. So what are you most excited about now? What's next?
Ooh, I should look at whatever I journaled today about what I'm excited about. Ooh, I have a lot of speaking engagements coming up. So I feel like the launch phase of the book, you know, it's been out in the world for almost 3 months. So it's had its moment, it had its launch. And now what I'm doing is I'm doing a lot of speaking engagements at organizations, doing some keynotes and doing some workshops. And so yesterday I spent a lot of time preparing for these workshops. And I'm really excited because I obviously customize it for each group. And I'm really excited for all of the speaking engagements and to meet new people and have them understand their life experiences and their career journeys through the lens of setbacks. And I'm talking to a team at a big tech company about how they can collaboratively lead their teams through tumultuous times, through the setbacks, because there's been a lot of layoffs and restructuring, especially in the tech industry. And you know what? Yes, the people who were laid off, they have their own setbacks to work through. But the people left behind as a team have to kind of pick up the pieces and figure out how to move forward. And so I think collaboratively leading through tumultuous times is a really big workshop that I'm doing with a lot of teams. And I'm excited about that.
Yeah. And you must hear great stories too, you know, when the talk is over, the stories that you hear from people at the side of the stage about how the book helped them, or the ways that you've heard from me today reflect a lot on about how they've viewed different setbacks in their lives. I imagine that's got to be really rewarding.
So rewarding. I mean, I wrote this book so people could have a new perspective on their own life experiences. And that is what I'm hearing from readers. And so what could be better than to hear that the thing you tried to do is actually succeeding?
Amazing. Well, thank you so much again, Amy. I'm so grateful for your time. This has just been just a conversation that I know is going to sit with me. And I'm going camping this weekend, so I get to unplug a little bit. And I know I'm going to be staring at the trees and the water and the stars, reflecting on this conversation. It's meant a lot to me.
Oh, thank you so much. This was wonderful. I really appreciate you having me.
The Growth Mixtape Podcast with Bob Mathers is produced by Bespoke Projects. Music by Jean-Michel Walter Cronkite. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to follow and rate us. When you do this, it helps to raise our podcast profile so that more people can find us. If you want to connect, you can find me on LinkedIn using the link in the show notes.